Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to
#WAW. What a week.
What a week. Week.
Hey, Tom. Welcome to another episode of Wow, What a Week. We're hanging out with an incredible young man today. He literally defied all the odds to make it for this interview. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Next. Actually, before we jump into our chat with our guest today, I've been a KFC fan probably when the Streetwise 2 was still 9 rand 90. Yes, I am that seasoned. Decades later, KFC is still leading the way, and now it's your turn to win with them. From big stories to real conversations, we keep it authentic, and KFC keeps us satisfied. Now, you could win bottomless buckets of KFC and daily instant prizes. Here's how to enter. Buy any KFC promo bucket, scan the QR code, and follow the simple steps. Buckets start from just 149 Rand 90 cents. So, grab a bucket, scan it, and see if you are a winner. T's and C's apply.
This is
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Jumping straight into it with our guest. I feel bad because he only agreed to do this interview because I asked him to. Generally, he wouldn't have. Because, yo, my dude, I felt bad just watching you walk in here. Please make some noise for K-Lo.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you.
You made me feel like I can like a little for asking you to come in here. Also, grand.
Hey, man. It's a pleasure to do this, man. It's an honor, you know.
Yes, sir.
When a great calls upon you, you got to respond.
But you're in a lot of pain, my dude.
Yeah, man.
You know, the problem with me is what people go through. My levels of empathy often have me relate to that pain, that I start feeling the pain.
Yeah.
Even with the kids, whenever the kids were admitted to hospital, the mom would go, I wouldn't. Because I'd literally fall sick from seeing them sick.
Ish.
So seeing you in pain, I'm literally, I guess up. I guess up at all.
Aye, but worry not.
Yeah.
I definitely am happy to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to have been able to respond to your call.
Sure.
Yeah, man.
How are you feeling?
God is good.
Yeah.
God is good. For the most part, I'm in pain.
Sure.
But I'm good, man.
Mm.
I'm good. Inside my heart, I think I'm good.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm good.
Do you want to talk childhood or do you want to go back to the fateful accident? Where do you want to start?
Childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mfanawa Reashuma, right?
Yeah, yeah, Proti.
Yeah, take us back to Soweto. Dude, you know, the way you carried Pitori.
It was like, it's what I...
Very few people would believe you when you say Mfanawa Soweto.
Yeah.
Because you embodied Pretoria. Mm. Pretoria embodied you.
Mm, mm. I'm the type of person who don't worry. If I live with people,
yeah,
I eat with them.
Ah, yes.
I sit with them. You know, I become a part of them. So, yes, when I'm asked Utswagai, I'll be like, so where to be do reports?
Yeah.
Because I've spent, you know, times of my life in those places. And Pretoria is definitely one of those special places that I spent a lot of time at, especially after my mom passed away.
Mm.
But yeah, Kekelezi Rashoma, high school, Soweto. Beautiful, beautiful times, man. I think that's when I could see Khole. You know, the singing thing has something to it. Because,
yes.
Because
Who was the first person that said to you, you have a voice?
My mother.
Yeah.
My mother. My mother believed in my singing so much. She used to... So we had a piano. One of those brown pianos.
As one does. We just all have pianos at home.
Yeah, you know. so she'd always have me come and play for her.
Yeah.
I never went to school for it, but, you know, I could always just beat the
You were that kid. You found the notes.
Yeah. So So she's the one who was like, hey, Mfethu, I love your voice.
Sure.
Please sing for me. Come, oh, wow. Please write a song for us. Because she could also sing. She was a very, very good songstress.
What song do you remember singing with mom that reminds you of her all the time?
Yo, didi ngata, man. You know, so there was your Uncle Sam's. There was your Luther Vandross's,
yes.
You know, there were your Whitney's. And obviously now there are some notes that I can't kick because I'm older.
Sure.
The voice broke. Mm. But before my voice broke, I could sing everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think one of those songs would be Uncle Sam, King, I Don't Ever Want to See You Again.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of those. Mm. Yeah.
You lost your mom around the time you were moving to Pretoria, right? Or was it just before?
Before. I lost my mom 2006.
Then you moved to Pretoria.
2007.
That's a lot happening almost at the same time.
Mm.
What carried you through that period? That one, mom is gone. Mm. Two, I'm now learning a whole new environment.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always lean to God, like, because I believe, you know, he's my script writer.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously after my old lady passed away, I was challenged a lot. You know,
how old were you when you lost mom?
16.
Yeah.
16. So it's that age.
Yeah.
Make it or break it.
Sure.
I was challenged a lot by peers. You know, I remember, you know, there was a time Baratswarapora, Koskela, and these guys had a gun. And I stood up.
In high school?
Kurashu, man.
Okay, Kurashu, yeah.
Outside, just outside where we caught the taxi.
Yeah.
So I fought back. The fact that I fought back and they had a gun had my family worried. Right? He's lost his mind.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So
also, this is after you'd lost mom.
After I lost mom.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the events that led me to move to Pretoria.
Mm.
Yeah, to my aunt.
So who decided that, okay, you need to leave Soweto?
No, they tricked me.
Yeah.
They tricked me, I'll be honest. They wanted me to leave. I didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
And then it was this after that. First, I was getting mugged. Fought these guys. Then I got into a fight. Some guy slapped me, ran into his car, punched his window out. You know, like I was just crazy. I just had lost my mind. You know, Mfethu, when something like that happens, you know how trauma changes the way the mind works. You see everyone as an enemy, or, you know, everything is a challenge.
And sometimes your levels of give a fuck disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. So my grandmother was like, "Ay, food, come live with us. Mpitori." I first declined, but ultimately, I think I went to Pretoria blacked out.
Yeah.
Because it was just after that fight with that guy King Koshel Ultra City. I remember Mahuta was still doing that Wema Pen show.
Okay.
Yeah. So he had invited us to come through, and this guy slapped me. You know, he slapped me because my cousin was using the loo for too long or something like that, and then he ran to his car. So I wasn't having any of that.
Yeah. True.
And all I remember is waking up in Pretoria and my family just saying, "Listen, let's register you school, finish off your schooling on the side." And yeah, that was that.
Do you think moving to Pretoria possibly saved you from you?
No, it brought out a part of me that I never want to remember. Yeah, because...
Well, it got worse.
Yo.
On some weight, there's more.
Yo, fresh. In Pretoria, man, yo, I became a version of me that I never want to look back on.
What happened?
I got challenged a lot.
Yeah.
So, Kopitorojo, it's about, you know, okay,
sure.
Like, Yeah, Raul Tlaso, you're a big boy. So it's that challenge culture.
Sure.
And I suppose the part of me that came out, no one was ever ready for. I got into a lot of trouble.
How bad did it get?
Bad enough for me to ultimately have to run from Pretoria. Kitsabela Mapodisa.
Yo.
And I had to run, change state, like I went to Botch.
Running from the law?
Yeah.
Have they stopped chasing? Pella, maybe you're confessing right now.
No. Okay. Look, man, you know what? after you go through the type of accident that I went through, you stop running.
Yeah.
But I stopped running a long time ago. I did face my things when I faced them. But
what things were these, my guy?
Hey, Strata.
Yeah,
Strata became office. For a teenage boy to lose his mother, you kind of turn to feel like you don't want to be anybody else's responsibility. And you can handle it on your own.
Sure.
So, think of the worst.
Sure. You've done it.
I did it.
Sure.
Yeah, and fearlessly. Because of the rage.
Sure.
Or all the anger. Then.
What do you say to families that are having to deal with a teenager that has lost a parent? How do you think they could best help manage that loss with the teenager, for the teenager?
God. The basis of my existence is God. Now I owe my life to God. Like for me to still even be here talking to you right now, it's God. But my advice would be, you know, you don't hit or bully or push someone back to health. You nurse them back.
Oh, yes.
So take your time. That teenager needs to offload. Someone to talk to, someone to relate with within the family. I think that's really about the only way. Because otherwise it's just going to spiral out of control and...
How did the music start happening at a level that had you re-look at how you perceived yourself and maybe realizing that maybe I do have a future? So for instance, for a lot of us, we didn't know you much until about 2009.
But when I think, you know, you were in the immediate circle that I fell into. You know,
House Africa.
Yeah, House Africa.
Yes.
I fell into hands that had grace. You know, like Tim White was very patient with me, very understanding. And he was one of those people that, you know, would listen to me, give me his time to talk to me. But I think... Towards leaving Pretoria, there was this group called Bright Apes, and I used to record with them. Had a few good songs, and then at some point, I remember asking them, "Gents, kya le bona le Bright Apes? Am I part of Bright Apes or am I just the vocalist?"
Ah, yes.
And they couldn't give me a proper answer, so that's when I was like, I shut them out. Yeah.
So how did you hook up with Dark?
Bright Apes.
Yeah.
So, remember the song Difference?
Yes.
I did with Dark.
Difference was a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it made noise even in the UK.
That's what, you know, you won't believe, that's what made me look at music as a way out.
Ah, yes.
To say, oh, okay. So they recognize me in the UK. Okay. So maybe this is another avenue. But sure. I had never... imagined music to be a way out, or, you know, a way of life.
Sure.
Yeah.
So music initially was what? It's
my love.
I love it, but yeah, it's not a career option.
I never thought of it that way.
So what was the big dream then at that stage? I mean, yes, you've been a bad teenager, but we still have dreams. Even within our badness, we still have hopes, dreams, and
fresh
wishes.
Look, Kurashuma, grade 11, I was a prefect.
Sure.
I had badges running down. Like, I was a good kid. I was a good kid, man. Like, Skela Kaufela knew me, and I greeted everybody. I was a good kid.
Like, and the girls loved you because you sang.
And I had like one girl for the most time, you know. Well, let me not say bari, but, you know, I wasn't of the taking advantage of your culture.
Yes.
Look, I wanted to be a head boy. And then... initially, honestly, I had always wanted to major in business. You know, I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to have different things running for me. So when the trauma hit me, obviously, I lost sight of all of that. You know, lost sight of all of that. Now it was this thing that I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
And then moving from Soweto to Pretoria kind of also messed me up because the people that know me are no longer around.
Yeah, I feel like Paula Shili.
No, but umang understandang.
Yes.
People that could have comforted me.
Or managed you better.
Managed me better went around. So when I got to Pretoria, new challenges, new people, they don't know me. They also want to know me. So everyone's poking.
True.
Yeah. And ultimately the monster. But I wanted to be a businessman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoever, someone with a word or two for you.
Sure. I've got so many memories, man. But I think the biggest memory that I'm fond of was, I think growing up, you know, back in high school, I was introduced to Caleb by a friend of mine, the late Tebo Fresh. We used to call him Fresh from Mfolo. I remember, I think Caleb used to go to Rashoma, and I used to go to Mondio, you know. So every time, you know, coming from the bus, they're coming from the taxi, and I'm like, yo, gents, you know. And then we used to go to my friend's house, but every single time we'd get there, Kalo's singing, you know? And obviously I didn't know him, but I'm like, hey, dude, who's this guy who likes singing? Because, you know, back in the days, you know, grade 9, 10, you don't understand. You know, always like women are the one that sing, you know? And this guy's just singing, he's singing. You know, and, you know, over years, you know, I believe we built such a brotherhood, you know, where... you know, I got to witness Caleb be the great artist that he is, you know, and to always think back where we came from, you know, and, you know, looking at him working with the likes of Louis Vega, you know, artists that you could only dream to work with, you know, and I'm like, this is the guy that used to chill and sing back in the days. But it's been one of the greatest, fondest memories for me because, like I said, it's watching us grow with a passion and having to see it materialize over years and becoming the person that you've always wanted to be, you know. And of course, you're still growing to be bigger, but, you know, when all your dreams are coming through, knowing that this is what you've always wanted. Yeah, man, this is your boy, Desi Funk. Much love.
Tell us about Desi Funk and your relationship.
Yeah, as he says, you know, I was introduced to him by Fresh, my late friend. May his soul rest in peace. Fresh actually introduced me to deep house or to house music.
Sure.
I was always the R&B and soul type.
Crooner.
Yes. And he'd come to my ear at break time and just play something in my ears and sing. You know, he wasn't much of a singer, but he would sing and say, Mfana.
Yeah.
I was KB back then.
Yeah.
You know, Kabelo Mfana, you. listen to this. Yeah, yeah, you know, listen to this.
Yeah.
And wow, man. Yeah, that guy, I wish he was still alive. But he's the person that actually introduced me to house music.
Mm.
And Machita, I think Dazzy Funk is a DJ now.
Sure.
I definitely believe he is.
Mm.
And shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out, shout out. I wasn't close to many guys, man. I was like, I was at a small circle, a small group of friends.
Mm.
And Daz was one of them.
Sure.
But yeah. Hey.
In your conversations with God, assuming you have conversations with God,
yeah,
do you ever look back at, I'll give you an example, like when I was in primary school, I was in the school choir.
Okay.
And I was head of choir in grade 7. And my assistant was a girl, Tandi, in grade 6. Okay. And one day we come to school and we're told Tandi passed away in her sleep.
You.
And she's probably the brightest girl I knew at that stage in our lives. And that's a conversation I have with God all the time, that why would you take such a bright life like that away? Like, she would be flying right now. Looking at like Afresh, who introduced you to Deep House, do you ever have those thoughts about where he'd be right now, how far he'd be right now?
No.
Mm.
Reason being, Fresh passed away last year.
Mm. Oh, so it's recent.
Yeah, it's recent. Okay. Mm. So, hey, man, life is hard.
Dude.
Life is hard, man. Life is hard.
And I think it was Gela. They teach us everything but that.
Mm. They teach us literally, like, they arm you with tools. But, you know, how Lemunyani, all you want to do is grow up.
Yeah.
And be your independent self and be your own boss.
Sure.
But no one actually tells you, hore.
and sometimes schools must actually add to the curriculum, 101. What's the worst that could happen in your life? I agree. That class could prepare every child for adulthood. 101.
Fresh fell ill
at
some point in his life. And I remember, you know, the first time I saw that he was sick, he had given up.
Mm.
And I don't know. I don't know whether it's the conversation that we had, but he didn't even want to go to the doctor.
Sure.
He was just like, I am free to gavaya.
Mm.
And I was like, are you mad?
Mm.
Like, life is hard for everyone.
Sure.
Don't look at the next person and think it's easier for them. Even as I stand with you now, life is hard for me. Yeah. You know, so please go check what's going on with you. But I remember he did go check and came back, you know, took meds. I think he had TB, something like that.
Mm.
And came back, abashap, you know, alulama. And I don't know, he felt it again. Life is hard, okay? And he was a very smart guy.
Yeah.
Very, very smart guy. We can never really understand why life goes or takes the directions that it takes sometimes.
Yeah.
But it does. Sure. And sure, you know, if God could grant me one of those wishes, I would definitely ask him to bring Fresh back.
Mm.
Yeah.
How did he feel seeing the trajectory of your career, given that he whispered the Deep House into your ear? And before you knew it, you, at some stage, I mean, dude, Soul Cafe, every month, sneaks back into my DJ sets.
Wow.
I played 3 gigs just this past weekend.
Wow.
It's evergreen, probably for another 20 years.
Oh, thank you. Honestly speaking, he was more of a fan than a lot of my fans.
Ah, yes.
At some point, he was even my DJ.
Oh, wow.
You know, I tried, man. I tried making it work with him. Obviously, we had our challenges here and there. But I'd like to think Fresh, Tepo, that's his name, was one of the main characters that cheered me on.
Sure.
You know, through it all, man. He was there. Even when he wasn't there, I knew that he was there in spirit.
Yes, so, always watching.
Yeah. So I always love that guy.
Here's another person that holds you very dearly in their heart.
General. The general.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure you know who this is because I think I'm probably the only person who still calls you that. Kelelo. Kalo, as you're now affectionately known. It's been a great honor knowing you. I think I'm counting close to 20 years now ago when I met this gentle giant coming from Soweto and who had just moved into Pretoria and who was going through a very complex time in his life. You had just lost your mother. And I think even that transition coming from Soweto moving to that side, you know, was, it threw you in the deep end. But you have risen above so many challenges, so many obstacles. You continue to be this giant that I think the world now has the pleasure to know. Thank you for sharing your gifts with us, reminding us that our souls really are the cafes of our lives. I hope that God continues to carry you from strength to strength in this life and the next. All my love. Kaisengula.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Tell us about that human being.
Kaisengula, a very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Since I got to Pretoria, I think a few years into living in Pretoria, we became very good friends. I always try to be there for people.
Sure.
You know,
do you think that's why she's been there for you?
Possibly.
At your bedside at hospital when Khosimnati.
Possibly, man. You know what? You can meet 1,000 people, but not only a handful.
Yeah.
Will walk with you.
Absolutely.
This walk of life.
Yeah.
And she is one of those people that I believe were destined to be there at that time. Needed each other. You know, she was also confused about her life and going through her things. And so was I, you know, I was just there as kind of the big brother. How?
Oh, so was Angle Lijoli.
Emma.
Eh?
Ish, fresh.
That denial came with a lot of love.
Yeah, man, you're putting me on the spot. Ish.
Is she the Soul Cafe?
As I said, very good friends. Very, very, very good friends. Yeah, man, very good friends. Kaiso was one of those girls, like, you know,
sure.
Pretty girl, short skirt and whatever. And I'd always be like, ish, man. You know, watch out.
Sure.
All these guys that you see as friends, they all want something.
Kid vulture.
Kid vulture, man.
Yeah.
You know, watch yourself. So we had that kind of relationship. You know, I was always just trying to look out for her. She says, gentle to her, not too many.
Sure.
Not too many others.
Yeah. So Zangli Jolt.
Hey,
I'm asking for a friend. I'm not fighting.
No. We're friends. Good friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
She is the Soul Cafe.
Oh.
Okay, we have one last voice note for you.
Wow, what a week. My name is Chaima Music, Colin Motla. I'm a music producer. And I'm here to talk about Kalo briefly as a brother and both as a musician. A very talented musician, he is a music writer, and also a vocalist. You know, everyone knows the song that we did. I think We Are To Be, and that was back in 2012. And since then, he has grown, man. He's been making music and, wow, amazing music. And lately, as a brother, since he had a very terrible accident, we've been speaking and we've been meeting, and I also brought him at one of my lunches events to come perform, and I've seen him in pain. But I think more than anything, I've seen him fighting to get back into what he does best, which is performing and singing and making music. And of late, yeah, we've been talking about getting back into studio, and it has to be this week because we spoke the past week and the other month, like, let's get back to studio. So expect music from myself and Kalo again. There's songs that are coming out. There's lots of ideas that we have. And I'm actually excited to work with him again and to see him fighting back to get back what he owns and what rightfully belongs to him, which is the crown of being, you know, the...
Why is the thing stopping?
It's one of the best vocalists, male vocalists we have in South Africa. Much respect to Kalo, and thank you, Big Dog, for asking me to talk about the brother. All the best.
All the best.
In his career and his life. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chima Music. How did you guys... you know what the weird thing is? Oh yeah, guys, one of my biggest ever regrets. We were working on Fresh House Flavor 8, I think. And I needed a vocalist. And Tim White asked this man to do the vocal for my song. And it was a cover version. And you don't do covers.
I don't do covers.
And I remember it was between you and a girl that we used. And we ended up going with the girl. I don't regret going with the girl.
Yeah.
But I regret not releasing a song with you.
Yeah. That's,
I don't have many regrets in my career. Like zero. I regret nothing.
Yeah.
But the fact that we don't have a song together and we could have before 2010 actually bothers me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Those were very exciting times, man.
Yes.
Actually, those were the times when I was recently just acquainted or had just met Chima Music.
Yeah.
Big brother to me till date. I was excited to work with you.
Sure.
And... that's the only cover track that I ever attempted doing.
And it never came out.
Yeah, I think you released before you even heard the song. You went with the other one. But, man.
In fact, blame a Tim. Because Tim came back with your version when we were done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually.
I remember he did say that, hey, man, they went with someone else because... I hadn't...
You're a perfectionist and you took your time.
I took my time. Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, can we actually blame...
I redid that song. Like, I did it. I remember I did it and he was like, yo, no, this is pumping. Yo, this is the one. And I was like, no.
Why are you speaking with a boot accent?
When you you know... you know Tim, man. But yeah, I think I redid it over and over and that's why...
So the story I'm trying to tell you is that's the period that I met Chima. And I needed a remix done, and I sent him the stems. I think it was like at 10 in the morning. At midday, he sent me back the remix. He's like, I'm done, Rotman. I listened to it. I was like, I can't fault it. We're going to release it. It's like 2008, 2009.
Chima's a genius.
He is incredible.
He's a genius. Mona is a genius. As he did say, we're in studio. Chances are tomorrow, actually.
Yeah.
We're in studio together. Got a few ideas because he sent me some beats. I've sent him some vocals, and we're linking up very nicely. It's been a while. People have been asking, man, please, and it's pinned the foot.
Exactly.
We are to be thing again. Yeah. So.
So Chima's been doing these men's campouts where men meet. We camp out and we discuss issues about manhood, amongst other things. What are we doing wrong as Majita? What do we need to reimagine about ourselves as Majita? Listen very carefully.
Pella, now we're in a world where you can't say...
what you actually feel. Which is actually sad.
No, but
let me tell you why I say we need to push back, though. I believe we need to push back because we can't be in a world that is either you're black or you're white. When there's so much gray and other shades in between, that now the world must be north or south. I think that's bullshit. What makes the world go around is the fact that we have differing opinions. And because I don't agree with you, is not to say you should not get time to be heard either. Even if you believe the earth is flat, who am I to say don't give this person airtime because they believe the earth is flat, but science says this?
Hey, that thing is very unfortunate.
So speak your mind, my dude.
I think as men, we need to... our problem is that we draw our energy from the wrong place. Remember, we are the leaders of the households.
In inverted commas.
Yeah, or should be.
Sure.
Right? So, who are you to take your strength and energy from, if not God?
Sure.
I think I've mentioned God in most of my answers because that's just who I am. Look, man, your direction cannot be set... Your direction should not be set by your woman. Okay? Your direction should be set by God. All right? Yes, God uses people.
Sure.
But I think if, as men, we could be in touch or in connection with our spiritual side, we would definitely have a better direction generally in life.
And better solutions.
Better solutions.
Yes, because humura throw actually solves nothing.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so a lot of us lack solid foundation because we seek for strength, wisdom, and direction and support from the wrong things. We really do. Like now, for instance, since this accident, I'm still carrying my family.
Yeah,
I'm still like a steam manner.
Sure.
I'm still the man in the family. Irregardless of whether I get shorts or I'm broken or what, when one of my siblings needs something, he knows
who to call.
She knows who to call, you know, because I can never take my direction from them.
Sure.
You know, they know that I pray. And surely if they ask me, now I know where I'm asking from.
Exactly.
So, and I deliver, make sure. So, I can't speak from an expert's point of view, because I'm not one. But the simple matter of it is, we need God in our lives. We need to be in touch with our spiritual side for us to be better leaders, better brothers, better fathers, and so on and so on.
And while we're there, you know, having God in your life is not because now you think religion and relationships with God, give buffet, and you're going to just pick what works for you. And now you're going to demand that your woman must obey you, or that your wife must, what's the word I'm looking for? Submit. Because often we use that to justify bullshit behavior.
True.
Or to justify abusive behavior.
Wrongful doing, yeah.
And I can tell you right now, I don't care how independent your partner is, if you give her a reason and respect enough to submit, she will.
She will. She will. Sure.
But you have to show up to the party too.
Mm.
It's not automatic. It's not automatic. No, it's... that because I've got two balls, you will submit to me.
Doesn't work like that.
You must earn the respect. You must earn that honor from her in the first place.
That's why I'm saying, Fresh, that you need to be in touch with your spirituality as a man.
Mm.
You know, because if you then now looking at what the world is doing,
Sure.
You know, two chance.
Yeah.
You're going to be quick to anger, you know, number one, because things are changing rapidly, you know, and I can't say things are changing in the wrong direction or the right direction, but you need to do what's good for you.
Yeah.
And how do you get that from the word?
Sure.
From, yeah.
Absolutely. You died.
Mm.
and I'm not being flippant about it, but my dude, you died.
Hey, man.
They declared you dead at the accident scene.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I was gone.
What happened that day? What are your memories of that day?
I remember my son had been asking me for a bike, for a bicycle for some time.
What's his name? How old is he?
Little Otlo. Mm. Little Otlo's 12.
Okay.
So Little Otlo wanted a bicycle, and as, you know, a Kalo, you want your son to have a special kind of bicycle.
Yes. Yeah.
So I have a friend that works for a bike shop in Borch, and he saw something very nice for me. So I was like, okay, let me take the drive.
Mm.
You know what? The only regret I have is that I drove there late. Because I was driving back. I remember I left Borch 10 o'clock at night.
Mm.
And I was driving. So I built 325s. I built box-shaped beamers. That's one of the other things that...
I know your Gusheshe very well.
Yeah.
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 It was a beast of a Gusheshe.
Beautiful, beautiful car. So I remember we were driving, literally, man, like 120, because it was drizzling, you know, and...
And also, Gusheshe is a don't fuck with me car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have like, to...
No, don't...
You don't have to make a noise. You know what I'm saying? Ah, you don't. So, anyway, we're driving back, and this white car on ramps. Mm. So we're on the fast lane, and obviously, you know, we're chilling. We're like, when you see a car in front of you and they're driving steady, like simple, I'll be listless. You keep on driving. As soon as we got close to this car, this car just comes onto my lane, and it's slippery. I can't dead brake. So I try to run. I try to dodge the guy. I don't know. The last thing I remember saying was, "Bayenzani laba manje, Quentin. Like, what are these guys doing now?" And next thing I wake up and I'm on my tummy and I'm full of sand. I'm dirty. I'm on the floor. And, you know, like, I remember just the first thing that came to my mind was, God, which one is this one? Like, you know, when you ask yourself, like, what in the world is happening? As I try to get up, I'm fit.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yo, the pain. That pain was just like, lay still. Like, you're not going anywhere. And by then, I had like, you know, people flashing me, katoch, and very, very, very uncomfortable scene, I must say. But
your car flipped. Spat you out.
It spat me out.
And then landed on you.
And then it flipped, spat me out, came on top of me, and then passed.
Yeah.
And then And yeah, I am a happy abu, I am a
good. Yeah, because the Gushesha will do that.
It's like, yeah, who I am. Yeah, I am a happy. But yeah, you know, next minute, the ER guys are they trying to, obviously, you know, being very gentle with me, asking me, can we move? Can we touch you here? Mm. I'm screaming, ah, you know, they... And they cut my jacket, they cut my clothes. Mm. That's what I remember. And after they flipped me over, I'm good. I can't say I've felt as much pain in my life. And that's when they put me out. Off to the hospital. They say I woke up again and I was in agonizing pain and they put me out again.
Mm.
But obviously that I don't remember because the medication they gave me was very strong.
But this car landed on your pelvis.
Yes.
And crushed your pelvis.
It crushed my pelvis into pieces. Like.
And here you are.
So basically my legs were separated from my upper body.
Yeah.
And you know, as a person, there can be every other aspect of your life. You can say, okay, I know I lag when coming to this. I trusted my body. But sure. My body was one thing that I knew because I grew up doing sports.
True.
So I knew, horai, man. My body's one thing. That this is the one thing that I'm sure of. There's no other way. So that really just, it's not just my pelvis that broke, man. That thing broke me. Like, you know, Lino, like... will I still be the same guy? Like,
they pronounced you dead at the scene.
They were waiting.
Also, they'd given up.
Yeah.
On something, this one is gone.
Yeah, on some ice.
So they're waiting for the silver sheet.
Yes, because after 10 minutes, they stop.
Trying to bring you back.
Yeah, because then your brain loses out on oxygen.
Yes.
So if they manage to wake you up after 10 minutes, then you could wake up brain dead.
Sure.
Two chance. Ah, no, I just woke up. They just...
Like in the movies, Madu.
I came back, man.
Do you remember anything? Because, I mean, that's the first thing I'm thinking. Like, what happens... Do you think you went to the other side?
Yeah.
Or do you think you were just blacked out?
No, I went to the other side. I went to the other side.
Don't sound like Bushiri and say, I saw God and he says.
I can tell you one thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember. You know, I remember waking up and saying to my friend, but Quentin, we passed these guys.
Yeah.
Because I remember running from them.
So Quentin was fine, though?
Quentin was injured in his head. Like, okay. he had a head injury.
Mm.
And he ran away from hospital because he had a head injury.
Mm.
Hey, yeah, what a mess.
Movie.
Ah, what a mess. Yeah. Of it. Pelvis into pieces. So, you know, even now, if you see my x-ray, it's a lot going on.
Mm.
You see my surgeon, shout out to Dr. Mazibugo.
Sure.
Dr. Mazibugo is, I think, the only surgeon who specializes in pelvis. And he went...
So you were in good hands?
I was in great hands.
Mm.
Shout out to that guy, honestly. When I was in Botch, I remember all the doctors in Botch were like, hey, now the only person that can put you back together is Dr. Mazibu.
Mm.
I didn't even know this guy.
So, but at that stage, though, waking up in Botch, obviously, it's bad.
Mm.
What conversations are you having with yourself at that stage?
I remember my family coming and I just apologized to them. I was like, I'm sorry. And I was saying, I'm sorry because I know how much they depend on me.
Sure.
And I kind of had a feeling that I'm not going to be there. As much as I'd like to be there, as much as you guys need me to be there. Internally, I was just asking God. I think for the most time, I couldn't believe God had let that happen.
Sure.
You know, when we pray that such things don't happen to us.
Sure.
So I was like,
especially before we travel.
Yeah.
You know, you pray, cover me with the blood of Jesus. You know, send your angels ahead. Check your home
natale.
Exactly.
Surround me.
And these are prayers you might take for granted until
until the accident. So understanding that this happened to you.
Yeah.
Has probably been the biggest challenge.
Mm.
Accepting that this happened to you. Like, I still can't say I see the lesson in it.
Yeah.
I don't want to lie and say, yeah, no, listen. Man, listen, I wasn't even being myself.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was driving very calm. Mina nyahamba.
Sure.
Like, I drive.
Mm.
But that day, I was very chilled.
Mm.
I was driving very chilled. And I think, you know, as I say, that's the thing that I still battle with sometimes to say, this really happened to me, you know.
Would you say you're still in, as much as you've accepted where you are, would you say that days the denial phase comes back?
Yes. Yes. Not just denial, man. I'm challenged.
Sure.
I'm challenged. There are days when it's literally hard to, it's hard to be alive. It's hard to say, okay.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
That was my next question, that often when you're dealing with recovery and extreme pain, not being alive crosses your mind.
Yeah.
That actually might be a better option for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's natural, you know. I don't think it's humanly natural to always be on top.
Sure.
Or always be, you know, enthusiastic about life. Yeah. Like, especially when you're facing such things. But you know what? As a man, you need to know where your source of strength comes from.
Mm.
You need to look around at the people that depend on you.
Sure.
That even on days when you don't want to carry on, then at least let them be your reason for carrying on.
Mm.
Even on days when you don't feel like getting out of bed.
Mm.
You know, think of the young ones. Think of, you know, like, there's no... My grandmother's still alive. May God bless her soul. I don't imagine she'd want to bury me.
Yeah.
You know, my family, I can't give up. It's not an option. You know, as much as it may be painful, as much as some days it may feel like, no, but God, and like, why didn't you take me?
Rather.
I ask myself those questions, but why didn't you take me? But when you don't have giving up as an option, then you gotta stand up.
Other day, took my kids for breakfast, and then they sent me a text saying thanks for the outing. And I was telling them that, guys, I live for you guys. As long as I'm alive, I will always show up for you guys. There's no plan B.
Yeah.
There's no option.
There's nothing.
As long as I've got air in my lungs, I will show up for you guys.
It's for you. Yeah. I remember Elena at the hospital. At some point, my grandmother was asking me, did your uncle come? And I'm like, no, he didn't. Did your father come? And I was like, no, he didn't. And then she started crying. I'm like, Oshodai, what do you need? Don't cry. Because as long as I'm alive, Okas shoti niks.
Sure.
I'm sure about that. Mm. I'm laying here, but I'm not dead.
Yeah.
Don't cry. You're crying now. You're making me feel like I'm dead.
Sure.
I'm alive.
Mm.
Please stop crying. I'll show you next.
Sure. Yeah. Let me make it happen.
Don't cry. That's one thing that you shouldn't do. So I think that it's important as a man to be a man. Mm. And that'll help you even in times when you don't feel like carrying on. Mm. You know, you will carry on, my brother. Mm. You know, one way or the other. So yeah.
We're living in a world now where, like you were saying earlier on, that things have become so polarized and sometimes even toxic because of social media, that even just you wanting to be a man and showing up is sometimes labeled as, oh, there goes another toxic male.
Mm.
It's almost like there's a section that are trying to make it uncool
to be a man,
to still be a man.
Mm. Mm. It's true.
And I say, I'd rather you are 100% man, whatever that looks like, but know to dial it down.
Then
you stay dialed down and you can't deal with shit when you need to deal with shit.
Yeah.
I think it was a Jordan Peterson who said a man should be dangerous.
But you need to have an element of danger.
But be able to dial it down and manage it.
Mm.
And that's what true power is. Mm. As a person who drives a Gusheshe, you know.
Yeah.
True power is in, I've got power on call, but I choose not to use it.
But I choose not to use it, yes.
So don't be apologetic about the power you have on call, about your masculinity. Just don't abuse your masculinity.
Don't.
Or use it to oppress people. That's all.
Here's
but don't apologize for being masculine.
Fact again, Khurman.
Yeah.
If, God forbid, South Africa had to get an invasion from wherever, who's protecting the women?
Yeah.
Who's protecting the children?
Mm.
It's us. It's men.
Mm. So... help.
Yeah, papa.
Yeah.
You know, you're the first person.
Malume okay.
How? Like for real. So, you need to learn that. You need to embrace that.
Yeah.
You know, and if you embrace it properly, then I am unable to abuse. Like I could never understand that. I wanna.
And you know, when you know precisely your power and the discipline it takes to control that power, you become such a disciplined, powerful human being, because discipline is nothing to you now.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing. You can deal with anything.
Yeah, literally. I mean, fresh, as a person that's been in the entertainment game, you know that when you're on that stage, you can have 200 women screaming for you. It doesn't mean that you must take even one.
Absolutely.
No.
Mm.
No. You're there to bless who you're there to bless.
Ospanin.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. You can't have a funky thoughts in your brain.
Mm.
You can't always be thinking
bums
or rubbish bums. No, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's important to be aligned with self, with God, you know, the higher power, with your ancestors. It's a bit romantic.
Sure.
And in that way, man, you become a better you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Dr. Mazibuko is done putting you together.
Yes.
What conversation did you have about recovery time? Because Maloba, you were in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, this guy's got crutches.
Crutches, yeah.
Your pelvis was... You had two bodies, my guy.
I was put apart.
No, you had two bodies. Dr. Mazibuko put you together.
Mm.
And you are, as much as, yes, you're still taking along. Dude, you're fighting back, bro.
I'm fighting. I 2 weeks back, I had a hip replacement.
Yo. And you're here.
I remember I was performing in the weekend after I got the op.
After?
And everyone around was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you? What are you doing? Are you king?
That's all right.
Insa.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, Ravit. Yeah. Like, time waits for no one.
Yeah.
I need to go. One of the things that I did in my past life, I'll say past life because Gishwile and Kayaka, I held back on releasing music.
Oh, yes.
I've got a lot of music.
Mm.
Like, more than 50 songs.
Mm.
I've got a lot of music. And I would say I'm releasing and then something would happen and I'd be like, hey,
yeah, it's not the right time.
It's not the right time.
Yeah.
That's a demon I'm fighting.
Sure.
You know, I'm fighting to change that about myself. So, every second counts.
Mm.
That's one thing I've learned.
Yeah.
If my body can stand up or carry me to where my mind wants to go, I'm not going to stop. And but be careful if you're on my way. I'm not going to stop. Like, I don't think so much of war anymore. You know, when you're in a situation like this, sometimes you're laying in the house and you're like, yo, who's gonna fight? Like, those are some of the depressing.
I was gonna say, how have you dealt with the depression of being immobile, not being able to do the things you used to be able to do, not being able to go ride the bike with your son? There's a stage where you couldn't move at all.
At all.
You had to just lie and look at the ceiling.
Yeah.
Just you and your thoughts.
Yeah, it's been...
How do you deal with the depression that comes with that? Because I don't care how hardcore you think you are, you will go through that shit.
Fit, you will cry.
Yo.
What are you talking about? Listen, you will cry, but you need to have a limit.
Yeah.
You need to have a limit. You need to know where it ends, where it stops.
Mm.
I've cried, but this is enough.
Mm. We discussed it with Greg Maluka the other day about pity parties. That a pity party is a beautiful party to attend. But by the time you're done with that party, you're still in the same spot.
Same spot.
Same spot.
Yeah, you haven't moved an inch.
Yeah.
So, Carabel.
Yeah.
Carabel. I don't want to, you know what? Unfortunately, maybe sometimes people look at me and they think this guy's going to tell us something super spectacular that's like that we've never heard of.
Not deep.
Yeah.
Came from a deep house anyway. So we go like a dip.
But it's simple. Rappel.
Yeah.
And prayer, you see, what I've learned about prayer is it's a sincere conversation with God about your situation. What's happening to you? Not that's why you can't pray how you heard the pastor praying.
Yeah,
you need to pray the way you
bring it home.
You know what? Bring it home, and that's how you see changes. That's how you see miracles. Some of the things I don't know how I passed through.
Yeah,
you know, because here's other people who say, "Hey, Maro, strong, don't." I'm strong. I can't imagine.
They don't know.
They have no idea. But yes, you do need to have family around you, or you do need to have people that care about you around you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to care about people. You need to want to fight. You need to want to live. You know, I always believe what people that live should be people that want it.
Yes.
And it's one of the unfortunate things that happened to me at the beginning of my career. I didn't want it. I didn't want it because I was in too much hot water. Like, so I was just like, hey. Yeah, let me, maybe if I can sing and not be seen.
Let me lay low and not not K-low.
Yeah. You know, let me lay low and, yeah, let me not be seen. Let me not K-low. Let me just be.
Yeah.
But that's the worst thing you can ever go through. You know, you need to want it.
And when you have it, you need to fucking ride it until the wheels fall off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's why, Lino, you know, I decided I'm going to drop an album.
Yeah. Please.
I mean, in as much as albums are out of fashion.
No, drop an album. Your fans will always support the album.
Yeah. 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 I decided I'm going to drop an album. I've been listening to the body of work, which I have. I've been listening to about 20 songs repetitively, and I'm just sifting out, you know, what I feel I really like. So I haven't yet included people into the listening and the picking of songs, but
yes,
Chamo Music is definitely one of those people that are gonna be part of the project, you know. But yeah, man, no more holding back on my end. We're going in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're going in. There's nothing to hold back. I've got a song that I want to drop now, soon. Titled "Broken Heart / Goodbye."
Inspired by
letting go of toxic people.
Mm.
Like, you need to let go of toxicity.
Sure.
You know, sometimes you don't need to fight it.
Yeah.
You need to walk away from it.
Mm.
Yeah. But in a lovey-dovey way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, but I think that's our problem, though. That we've forgotten to be selfish at that level.
Mm. Mm.
We've forgotten to be selfish at that level of accepting what is versus let me try and change what is.
Oh.
You can add that to the lyrics if you want.
Yeah, not everything can be changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the sooner we can walk into relationships accepting the person we are willing to spend that season with, there'll be less headaches. Because you know the person you are walking into that season with versus, no, don't change along the way. The freedom that comes with acceptance of who you are dealing with, it's incredible. Because you're not overthinking shit. There's certain things that don't make you paranoid
and
or
you're
anxious.
You're able to bring yourself, more of yourself to the table.
Yeah. That's why I always say, don't tell me about 80-20, hey, you complete me, you're a better half.
100.
Guys, all of us are 100%.
100%.
Some are less pure than others, and you must just find the one you're willing to spend X amount of time with,
because
you're not going to change that person, guys.
Mm-mm. Forget it.
That's all.
Forget it.
So the sooner you can make peace with what is, your life will actually become so much easier to navigate.
That's a fact.
My dude, we could talk, and I wish we could.
Yeah.
I was actually even hoping you could sing for us, but we maybe can we actually maybe hear a sample of the new one? Actually.
Who?
You've spoken for over an hour, so your voice is warm, so don't lie. And say, I must still warm up, I must gargle with lemon water and honey. No.
Oh, man, okay. Pardon me if I hit an off note. Things are maybe. Have you ever tried to love someone with all of your might? Move every mountain that comes in their way. Keep them safe in the night. And you would do just about anything to ensure that they happy. Provide a shoulder and a helping hand, only to find out it's the wrong person. You fell in love with the wrong person.
Satan.
They cause you so much pain. With a broken heart, we must accept that the past is done. We did our best, but the worst is done. We've got to say goodbye to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is you unwarmed up.
Yeah, this is me cold.
With hip replacement surgery. On pain meds.
Yeah.
In pain. And you sing like
slightly
that.
Slightly dizzy. Wow.
My dude, hearing you sing like that, I understand why Modimo was like, no, that one can't come yet. Leave him down there. Your voice has been sanctuary for many.
Thank you.
And unfortunately, 99% of the people whose lives, hearts, and souls and spirits you heal with your music, you'll never meet. And they'll never be able to tell you. That's why I want to say to you on their behalf, that dude, you heal hearts, you give people hope, you give people the light at the end of a very dark tunnel with your talent. So please don't stop.
We thank God for that, man.
Please don't stop, my dude.
Yeah, man. We thank God. We thank God. Really, really, really. I thank God.
Or to use language you'd understand when you're a teenager. Oh, my pasa.
Thank you, man. As long as I'm gonna get that song for my album,
dude. I owe us a song, yes, dude.
Definitely. I agree with you. But thanks for having me, man.
No, dude.
It's been a dope chat.
Had I known you were in this much pain, I actually would have told you let's postpone. But because Ukelo, you never said you're in a lot of pain.
Aye. So forced, I know this figure, you know. And you know, God's will be done. It must be done.
Yeah.
Before Vai, it's one of the things that must be done. So I wanna urge all the people that are watching and listening, don't ever give up. You know, whatever it is, wherever you find yourself, you know, sometimes you look around and it's a mess. You can't give up. You can't. Don't ever give up. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the future, you know. Keep going. Keep trying. Try again. If today you feel like you failed, tomorrow try again. Try again until you don't breathe anymore. We're gonna be all right.
Sure.
Yeah, we're gonna be all right.
Yo, my dude, I've got goosebumps. Have you ever had goosebumps on your legs? No, just thinking about this past year and all the shit you've had to endure, but because your fighting spirit carries you and has carried you. I don't think it's a mistake you went through the turmoil you went through when you were a teenager. Because everything we go through prepares us for something. We're not sure what at what stage. I don't think, had you not been that feisty kid back then, you'd have survived this shit.
Yeah, no. I don't think so either.
You would not have survived this shit. Because right now, that teenage kid that was a troublesome kid, that's who's showing up for you right now, dog.
True. Strong.
So that's the lesson from then. So the lesson from now, you might only see in 10 years. But it will come.
Yeah, you ain't.
The light always comes on, my dude. The light always comes on. Point.
Yeah. You see? Yeah. I'm glad you said that, and I hope they heard you.
Yeah.
That the light does eventually come on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My dude, love and respect. Looking forward to the new album. Hopefully all 20 songs will be on there.
Yeah.
And we will all stream it and support it and make sure that you continue building the Kusheshe.
I love them. I love, you know what, it's not even a thing like, it's something I love doing.
Sure.
You know, it's something that I don't mind spending, because building those cars is a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's
a labor of love.
And it's money too.
Yeah.
And it's one thing that I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Like, maybe when you enjoy partying,
yeah,
that's fine. That's you. I enjoy building cars.
Sure.
So go sign you on social media. Don't tell me, hey, we saw you spinning your kusheshe. It's mine. It's what I love doing.
Sure.
I never endanger people's lives. That's one thing for sure. So please let bygones be bygones.
Let me kusheshe in peace, please.
Leave me. Absolutely. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kalo is about to leave the building. But what about Spina though? Because I had a friend, like when I was 19, he had like a 328 IS. Yes. Yo. You have no idea, my dude. Like a metallic, was it like a navy bluish metallic with sound and it was, yes. And we were kids, we were 19.
Can you believe or I'm done rebuilding that car? The car was in an accident with.
The car that almost killed you?
Yeah, I rebuilt it.
on some 1 year aside.
I want to fix you. No, I bought another body.
Yeah.
Drop top. And I rebuilt it. Mm. And I spray painted it. Returned my engine, exhaust system, gearbox, diff. Yonkinto. Everything. Siselani input. We're online.
True.
It's just a matter of these legs.
Yeah.
When they come right, you're going to see me in that kosher again.
Exactly.
Yeah. You must just enjoy the sight.
Me and you talk a lot. If we don't stop, I'm not going to stop. Ladies and gentlemen, Kalo is about to leave the building. Thanks as always for hanging out and giving us your time and your love. Don't forget to subscribe, to like, and most importantly, share the links. Coming to you from downtown Johannesburg, we are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Coming to you from Amped Studios, the home to over 80 African podcasts. You could be next. Shout out to Trevor and the team at Pezulu Works for the cinematography, and also Kelezo Modisa King, our executive producer. All of our behind-the-scenes social media is done by your boy YBF, and additional production by Lati. Have a great week, in spite of yourselves.